I'm Logan Webb, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Wednesday, June 14th, 2023, and this is episode 282 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. We're coming to you, well, it's live for us, not live for you. while the Giants are wrapping up the three-game series in St. Louis, I'm your host, Chad King. Joining me today, we got a threesome going on, not that kind. We got Willie, Dills, Gregory. How you doing, man?
Excuse me, dude. I'm fucking fantastic. Been to a Giants game recently. And I've been very excited about the Giants recently, so I'm glad to be here talking with you guys. This is good.
And as usual, we got Eric from Arizona. How you doing, Eric?
It's Luis Matos Day. I am so thrilled. I mean, what is this, the eighth rookie to make his debut with the Giants this year? Today's a great day. Luis Matos is here. Let's go. I mean, it's for unfortunate reasons. I don't want to crap on Mitch Haniger, and we'll get to that soon, but I'm happy to see Matos, as we all should.
Yeah, they're like 98th player already on the roster, something like that.
This is like an ongoing meme right now. By the way, it's the Dave Chappelle. Is it the 6 o'clock free crack giveaway? But instead, it's the 6 o'clock MLB rookie debut giveaway.
Because pretty much
it's just every single week, man, another new guy comes up,
and they always number 42. Yeah, he's number 42 to make his debut to be on the team this year. 42 men have been on the roster.
That's amazing. Holy crap. Only 65 games into the season? That's nuts.
Yeah, that is nuts. That is absolutely nuts. All right, well, let's get into it. We're recording a couple of days later than we normally do, but hey, look, the Giants have been hot, man. Since we last recorded, they've gone 6-2. They swept Colorado in Colorado. By the way, isn't that like 11 wins in a row or 12 wins in a row over Colorado? Pretty insane. 11, I mean, that used to be the house of horrors for the Giants, even when they were good. Well, they're somewhat good this year. They're getting better. But in their World Series years, they still didn't do that well in Colorado. They lost 2-3 at home against the Cubs. Willie was at that Friday night game. Unfortunately, they lost that one. Yeah. And they've won the first two here in St. Louis. And I tell you, the game started really well this morning with the call-ups. Of course, Luis Matos and David Villar. We'll get to that in a minute. The Giants had scored two runs, had the bases loaded with nobody out. And they couldn't score another run. They had a force out at home and then a 6-4-3 double play. And the Cards just came right back in the bottom of the second with a grand slam. And they've added another run. So it's 5-2 in the third right now. Still plenty of time. But, you know, at least they've already won this series. The Giants are doing well. 6-2 since we recorded. They're three games over 500 at 35-32. Six games back of Arizona in the West. But more importantly, they're tied for the last wild card spot. So they are in the hunt. They have a spot right now. So I don't know. I mean, we've been feeling better about this team over the last, you know, few weeks, and I think some of those fruits are bearing right now in terms of the roster depth, which, you know, with the Matos and VR and others getting called up, and we had Wynn get called up and had a four-inning save in his major league debut. I don't know. The Giants, they don't have any superstars, but their depth is proving to be kind of their weapon right now.
I mean, yeah, it's this is the year of the kids, and I'm here for it. I don't care if we compete. I don't care if we even get into the wild card or, you know, make any noise in the division. I just want to see the kids play because this is what we need for the next few years. We've been talking forever about how bad our farm system is. It's not looking that bad right now. I mean, maybe it's kind of a small sample size, but there's a lot of guys contributing right now, you know, in a short amount of time. A lot of guys who are just getting like the fast track, too.
Yeah.
And they're coming up to the big leagues and they're kind of showing what they can do.
Yeah. What about you, Eric? As a team, they're just kind of hitting up and down the lineup. That Colorado series, coming back to win both those games late, I mean, it finally showed us something about the character of this team. You know, we talk about 42 different guys have been on the roster. It's hard to form a character, hard to form an identity as a team. And the Giants are kind of showing that they are that mix of some veterans and some kids right now trying to put it together. I mean, they're six games out in the division. Dare I dream? I mean, seriously, it's only six games. You know, it's June still. It's you know, I'm kind of still dreaming about that. Not that I think it's realistic. It's just they give you that feeling that they can win when they go out every time right now. And they're showing it, like I said, by that Colorado series. Like the Cubs series was a hiccup. They ran into the two best pitchers on the Cubs. Stroman really much shut them down on Friday. And then, I mean, Hendricks, thank goodness for Mitch Haniger, because Kyle Hendricks almost no hit them on Saturday. Right. So, you know, what can you do? That's what the Cubs have. That's their whole rotation. You know, kind of like the Giants have like a two-man rotation at the moment with Cobb and Webb, because nobody else can do it. That's what the Cubs have. So that, you know, I get them losing those games, but they've won every other game they're supposed to win at this point, including Sunday, which was just great to see them bounce back from two tough losses like that. You know, that's why I'm dare I dream about the division. I feel really good about the Giants right now. They're fun to watch, and they absolutely have a chance to make some noise.
Well, I mean, the Colorado series had to make everybody feel good, right? Because it was two comeback wins in a row. It was like, these guys don't give up. They get out there, they can put some offense together at any time, up and down the lineup. And, you know, like you said, there's not a lot of stars, but there's not a lot of holes in the lineup right now. I'm trying to figure out, like, who's the easy out. And we don't really have one, which is kind of what you need when you're just trying to compete in a division like the West.
I think they're so deep right now. I mean, when you have your backup closer as Brandon Crawford, I mean, you're doing pretty well. So
0.00 ERA.
He's got the best ERA on the team.
I don't know if you guys listened to the post game interview with him, but it was one of the funniest things ever. I don't have the exact quote, but the gist of it is he was like, "Yeah, I always tell pitchers it's, you know, it's not that tough." And they get mad at me, but then now they're mad at me even more because I proved that it's not that tough.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, good for him, man.
Yeah. Also,
that was like the highlight of the weekend that made them get rid of the bad vibes from games one and two of that series, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess he reached out to his brother-in-law, Garrett Cole, and said, "I have a better ERA." So, you know, he's
by the way, he
so
also threw like, he threw like an easy 82. It didn't even, he wasn't doing a real wind up or anything, and he was, you know,
he hit 90.
He hit 90,
more than Hendricks threw the entire day before. So Hendricks had an entire game where he never touched 90 and was masterful, and then Brandon Crawford, the shortstop, throws 90.
Well, Kruko was losing his mind. He was like, "Oh, he's dropping the arm angle, he's a breaking ball," like, yeah, he was loving it.
Those were real curveballs, too. Those weren't Ephus pitches.
Yeah. I mean, apparently he did pitch in college, so he has done it. Every guy at the big league level had done it, right? But, yeah, Crawford's kind of having his little swan song right now. He really is he's the last guy, right? So, you know, he is the veteran now, which is so weird to say. We're old, man. We are old. This sucks.
I know. He was the baby-faced Bruin coming up, and now he's...
Remember the Grand Slam? All right. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. It's good stuff. But, okay, let's get back to the team. So we get Haniger. Let's go ahead and talk about him, because he did break up the no-hitter. But yesterday you had back-to-back injuries. You had J.D. Davis twist his ankle. And J.D. Davis has been playing so well for the Giants. I mean, talk about, that's just one of the better trades as of late, you know?
We gave up Ruff.
Yeah.
And then we got Ruff back.
And then we get Ruff back. So Davis.
Yeah.
And then we even jettison Ruff, right? And we keep Davis, and he's doing so well for the team. So he sprains his ankle. And then Mitch Haniger, you know, it's one of those weird ones. And when guys get hit by pitches, I mean, it's 99% of the time, it's just bruises and contusions and day-to-day kind of stuff. It freaking broke his forearm, man. I mean, that's like...
Yeah, it's a fracture.
Crazy. I mean, so that's
just the most miserable
stay.
5 minutes.
Oh,
yeah. I tell you what, last night I had the game and the hockey game going at the same time. And on one screen, we had J.D. Davis roll his ankle and then Haniger break his arm within 5 minutes. But on the big screen, I had the Knights score like 3 goals in a matter of like 6 minutes. And it was such a crazy moment of emotions because I'm looking at the Giants going, oh, man, crap. Oh, man, this sucks. Man, Haniger's finally getting it together. And then I look up, goal, yay, it was awesome. I mean, it was so frustrating.
Like 9-2 or something.
Oh, right? Yeah, so it was a great
happy,
game.
You're happy, but you're sad. And then you're
right. It was an awesome game. But like the moment, those 5 minutes, though, but with Davis and Haniger going down, like, I mean, the Giants showed some poise still, you know, piling on last night, but that was just tough to take two back-to-back blows like that. And Haniger's going to be out for at least 2 months. I mean, this is not an easy fix.
Yeah, no, that's a significant injury. But, you know, Haniger and Conforto had kind of become like our 1-2 punch that you could rely on day in and day out. And now, you know, I don't know. Next man up, I guess. Matos, let's go.
Yeah, Luis Matos, who we've been talking about for a while now. I mean, he was doing so well in AAA after his promotion from AA. 398, 7 bombs, 20 RBI in 24 games in AAA. And before that, 304, 3-16 in 31 games in AA. And he's got a career 301 average in 318 minor league games. That's you know, significant. So this guy is a good contact hitter. There's no doubt about that. So yeah,
he's got more walks than strikeouts this year.
That too. And then him and VR were pulled out of their game mid-game because it was like, oh, crap, these guys are injured. We need to get them from Texas to St. Louis.
Luckily, ASAP. They were like an hour away from St. Louis, so they could actually like get there super quick. But yeah.
It's just odd when you see guys getting pulled out in the middle of a game. They're just getting their bags and walking across the field. But Matos comes up in his very first at-bat, boom, single, scores a run. So already making an impact on the Giants. But I mean, this might be one of those guys. It's going to be a few weeks to see, but with Mitch Haniger being out, you know, at least a couple of months, I don't see why Matos is not here until at least after the All-Star break.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And again, like, this is not a season anyone's expecting anything from the Giants, right? Mm-hmm. So let the kid play. Like, let's see what happens, you know? Like, let's get him in there every day. At this point, like, Schmidt is just an everyday guy. Bailey's an everyday guy. Like, these are everyday guys now.
Yeah.
And the team is, you know, we were all doom and gloom at the beginning of the season. We were all talking about Joey Bart. What's he going to do? He's not even, we don't even care about him right now. Like, we're like Bailey's line driving home runs from the right side right now. So we don't, you know, like,
yeah, his weak
side,
right?
New season.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This season is just all topsy turvy, where everything that we cared about, we don't care about anymore, and we're on to the next thing. And I'm, you know, whatever, I'm here for it. You know,
I mean, I guess
Matos go ahead.
I was gonna say, I guess one silver lining you could look at with having a team with no superstars but a bunch of kind of, you know, above average to average players is that when you lose someone like a Haniger or Conforto or whatever, it's not that much of a drop off to the next man up, right? So, I mean, there's that kind of reality. Like, Matos may come up and even do better than Haniger. Who knows? VR, I don't think, is going to do as well as J.D. Davis. But, you know, he surprised us before with his power. It's just his strikeout rate is off the charts right now. But, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
do you think
it's not like losing Aaron Judge. No.
If
no,
Matos can hit 230, then he replaces Haniger one for one. You know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. No, yeah, that's the thing. He's probably going to hit better. I cannot remember a prospect who was this hot when they got called up lately.
Yeah.
And he's just seeing the ball really well right now.
Buster Posey.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, because just the fact that he does, like I said, have more walks than strikeouts shows you how good his eye has been.
Yeah.
So far this season. And I mean, singling in his first at bat. So the third deck in the stadium didn't get to him or anything like that. So with Haniger, broken arm, I mean, that is a long look. Matos is going to get a long look. They're not going to send him down unless that kid's hitting like 195 or something like that, and they need it. He'll be out there every day.
I know we got a lot of these notes in here, but I have a question for you guys because I had been listening to a lot of KBR since I live in San Francisco again, and I can do it. There was talk a couple weeks ago when we started to actually flirt with 500. Are the Giants now buyers at the trade deadline? And now 3 games over 500. Are we you know, and with injuries suddenly, are we, you know, are we trying? Are we trying to, are we going to make a move? Like, I don't want to like, you know, deplete whatever we got going, but are we going to give it a go? Or it's kind of a weird situation.
Well, Chad and I, we talked about this with Farhan's comments about being aggressive at the deadline. And I mean, I think they want to go for it, but I mean, why not go for it? I don't see them pulling off a big move. I mean, they just brought off Mato, so that he's off the table as somebody they're going to trade. I can't imagine they're going to trade away any of the real talent that they're interested in keeping at this point. Yeah. So anything is just going to plug and play. I don't even think they're going to move somebody like Flores or Peterson. It would absolutely kill the clubhouse chemistry if they did something like that.
I think Peterson's off the table. But Flores, I think, is on the table. I think also Joey Bart suddenly becomes on the table with the way Patrick Bailey's come on. But I guess my issue was that when I heard talk of this a couple weeks ago, I was thinking we kind of have like 29 guys for whatever it is. Was it 26 spot, 27 spots? What is it now?
26.
God, I can't even keep track. 26. So we were kind of in a weird spot where it's like, you know, there's not really room. There's not like a Bryant move or whatever, right? Like there's not like a move like that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know like what do we go get other than like another starting pitcher. So I think that's really the only thing that makes sense at this point, because we're not getting rid of any of these kids who are actually producing. But we're in a weird situation. Six games back, you said, tied for the last wild card spot. You don't want to be like, well, we give up, right?
No, not at all.
Anytime you're contending, you kind of have to try. So,
yeah, there. I don't think there's any quit in Farhan and company. They're definitely not the kind of tank. They just aren't the type to make the big splash, right? So we talked about this last week, but him saying that they're going to be aggressive at the deadline to pursue the playoffs, I think the translation is not going after, you know, a Shohei Ohtani. I know that's a joke. That's
oh my God. I actually heard the Carmen was on the post game show. What's the other girl who's on it? Not Carmen.
Teresa Vigneault.
Teresa. Yeah. She brought up Shohei and I was
No.
That's really fun, but
not this
year. Yeah.
No, dude, they're hovering around 500 too. So
by the way, can I give you guys this is a fun little tidbit. What's the guy? I think his name's Anthony.
Yeah, I think it's Anthony. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you know that the other guy I work with at the Peaks, one of the other bartenders, that's his best friend?
Ah, okay.
Oh, that's so random.
Isn't that weird and like,
hey man,
moving back to San Francisco, I'm like, what in the world, dude? Why is everybody I know know all these people? Like, it's so weird.
That is random. And for our listeners, a friend of the show, Steven Rizzotto, recently had Anthony Garcia on the Rizzocast. Go check
Anthony Garcia is his name? Okay.
Yeah.
I still even haven't had like a conversation with Alex about this, but Alex is like, me and him are like, we bro down, right? He's the other guy I work with. All the other bartenders at the Peaks are girls. Mm-hmm. So me and him, obviously, you know. That's his best friend. Like, best man at his wedding type of thing.
Ah, okay. Yeah, boy, that show gets a lot of hate on social media. I don't mind it, but.
Does it really?
It does.
It gets so much hate on
it. If they get Cole Kuiper on it, do you think it would help a little bit? I think people like Cole Kuiper.
No, that's the thing. Cole is on it, and it just gets trashed. So, you know what it is? It's a generational thing. It's mostly, when I say social media, I'm talking about the Facebook Giants group. So we're talking baby boomers, right? Going, we're kids.
But we all know, like, Carmen's old school. She's been putting in the work.
No, I love Carmen. Right? Yeah.
I think all these people have. You know, I respect the hustle.
They
earn their spot.
But yeah, I think Farhan, when he says aggressive, it's like, we're going to get a third bullpen arm. The trade deadline. That's what I think.
We got win. We're good.
So it's gonna be something
our
like that.
Our bullpen is actually so weird right now.
Some fifth starter.
What even is our bullpen?
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot better. The thing is the starting spot.
Yeah, it's the starting spot. But then again, Disco goes out, and that's like four straight starts now. Disco has been crappy. Yeah. Cobb got pulled after 73 pitches last night with a four-run lead, and I don't even know if we heard why. And then, what you know, you have it in the notes, Sean Manaea. I mean, the guy's been phenomenal lately. He really has.
Yeah,
he's incredible. He has pitched great. And so, you know, the chatter immediately becomes, you know, put him back in the rotation here. I'm going to steal your stats here, Chad. You wrote it down, though. You know, four earned runs in his last 18 innings, and they were all in the one Colorado outing. 24 strikeouts, though, in those 18 innings. But the chatter is, you know, hey, let's see him start again. But, I mean, maybe he's better at this piggybacking role. I think they're going to keep him there just because that seems to be where he's excelling right now.
Brebbia goes inning one, and then Manaea goes 2-3-5, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but they do. If they were to make a trade, starting pitching is the only one that they would look for at this point, I really think. I mean, I get a third bullpen arm. And so, yeah. I mean, are they really going to subtract from the team to do that?
No.
You know, as a whole, offensively and defensively, the Giants are pretty much put together. So I don't know, you know, how, like you said, a needle-moving move. I don't see that happening. They can be aggressive, but they don't have much to get rid of.
We moved Brandon Crawford into the setup role, right? So that shores that up, right? We got the Rogers twins. And then when Haley comes back or Wood comes back, we're fucking golden, man. So you're right. That's the only needle moving move, right? Is a starting pitcher. So
yeah,
weird spot.
Farhan,
luckily the closer spot is solid, by the way. So
yeah. Oh God, yeah. No, it's solid. But Farhan was asked about the Manaea, however you want to pronounce it, Manaea thing. And he said, we're going to keep him in that spot because that's where he feels more comfortable. And it's kind of like, you know what? Farhan is basically saying this guy gets the jitters or he is nervous or anxiety ramps up when he starts. And for some reason, coming in after an opener, he's excelling. And so I agree. I mean, Farhan is a smart dude. We all know that. So he's going to use the player's strengths. And if it's working right now, where you go Brebbia one and, you know, Manaea the next, you know, five innings, and it's working and they're winning those games. Why, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's not traditional.
Right. I appreciate that Farhan and the Giants are willing, because we know they're a constant tinkering team, but I appreciate those moments when they say, okay, something's working. We're just going to stick with it. You know, a la Lamont Wade riding out the season at first base because he's entrenched himself as a starter. Like, they don't tinker if they feel like they found a good formula. And I do like that about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so we can all say at this point that Kapler does pretty well with what he's given. Right. Like I know we all have our qualms about some things that he does, but he's got a little Bruce Bochy in him where he seems to make moves that end up working out. And he seems to get a lot out of players he didn't expect to get a lot out of. I don't know. I'm trying to find holes in Kapler and I'm like running out of them at this point because, you know. He's just a solid dude, man. And he, he's also a bass player, so I got a soft spot for that. But
he's a bass player.
I know Eric specifically. You've been very critical of Cap, and I get it. And you've always made sense when you make your criticisms. But you know, looking at what he's done with this team that we didn't expect anything out of, right? Three games over 500. None of us thought that was going to be where we'd be.
Well, especially after the start. I mean, my Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Like 7 or 8 games under 500 at one point. So, you know, think about it since then, right? They're playing like 10 games over 500 since then. So it ain't bad. It ain't bad.
If you could like just eliminate the A's.
If you could eliminate most of April, the Giants would be contending. Well, they'd probably be in first place or at least close to it. So, we're almost contending.
Yeah, luckily the Padres suck, so that's great. But
it's made it a lot easier. When it comes to Kapler, I'm just still the mindset Farhan's kind of still pulling some strings, and when Kapler makes moves and they work out, everybody's like, "Oh, that's great." But I think if they miss the playoffs, I think Cap's going to get the axe. I really do.
So let me ask you this though, Eric. So is there a name out there that you think could do better with what he's been given? Like, is there a guy that like intrigues you out in the world?
No, not really.
I guess that's the problem.
Yeah, that's the thing is, and I wouldn't know enough. I mean, the honestly, the stupidest and most direct answer is Bruce Bochy. I mean, look at what the guy's doing in Texas. Well, and he's fun. He's mixing in new and old school stuff. It was just Rosenthal just wrote a nice article about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's weird that that's the simple right answer at the moment. But, you know, no, there's not anybody. It's just it's Kapler. That's like, you know, it's the feel of the game thing. You know, but like, I think David Ross is going to get fired in Chicago, but I'd never want him to come in and be the manager of the Giants at this point. Okay. I've seen him make moves, you know, so there's not anybody out there.
Real quick, though. The Giants are definitely leading the league in suicide squeezes, right?
I think they got three this week, something like that.
Is there another thing that the manager really does outside of like hitting people on the butt after they come in? At this score run.
Well, you know, it's when I give him credit. I give Cap credit all the time when he does good things. Like the other day, I think it was yesterday or two nights ago, he kept the righties in the lineup even though a righty came in to relieve a lefty pitcher because he knew that as soon as he pulled them, the Cardinals were going to go to their dominant lefty the next time through the order. So sure. It seemed like he had good forethought. You know, he's also been dealt a tough hand with the pitching rotation and things like that. I'll give the Giants coaching staff credit. He like never loses a challenge. It's amazing. His record and challenge.
Oh yeah. No, that's a good point. I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, it is.
If you really want to talk about like if you play out of the park baseball, you feel kind of like, well, what do I actually control here? Right. And it's really just roster moves. But during a game, it's like I tell him to steal or don't. And the Giants are aggressive with stealing. The Giants are aggressive with bunting. The Giants are aggressive with all the things a manager seems to actually control. I don't know. I'm just loving the way they're playing the game. It's such a difference from the 107-win season when it just seemed like, okay, everybody get on your back foot and try to launch it out of the ballpark, right? We are now playing a much more station-to-station baseball game. And playing good defense, and you know, it's things like managing like bullpen games, right? Like these are the kind of things that actually a manager I feel controls. Most of the time, you're just putting your best nine guys out on the field, right? And it's hard for me to find faults in what he's doing this year, anyway. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you want to talk about the difference between playing and managing, right? I mean, could you or me go out and strike out a professional hitter? No way. But could we go out, manage a lineup over 10 games and get one win as a manager? Probably.
You know, dude, August 7th.
We could probably do that. Just saying.
Yeah. 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 I mean, look, the Dodgers can win with one of the worst managers.
He doesn't have a lot of say in things, Dave Roberts. I mean, that's kind of
I know. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. But I think Kapler similar, like, but what he does bring to the table, calm presence, a guy who really sticks up for his guys. And like you said, Chad, with the, was it you, Chad, who said like, we're not losing challenges. Like,
Eric said that. Yeah.
The little thing. That was Eric. Okay. So the little things, like the things that he can actually control. And then the guys out on the field, they're the ones who really make it happen. Right. So
they're the ones that make it happen. And they're the ones that love him. So for all the
adversity
that he faces, the players love Kapler. That is a routine, normal, consistent thing across all of the players. He is a player's manager in that sense on how he talks to him, communicates, all this stuff like that. So there's never been a bad thing said about him publicly or to a reporter, and he just routinely has the highest marks in the surveys. So, I mean, you know, that speaks volumes too, right? Doesn't mean that he's the best manager. It just means that the players like him and are comfortable with him. So, you know, and if the players are comfortable with their manager, they're going to play a little bit better, even if they're managed incorrectly in terms of when they're put in and taken out, right? Sure. So, I mean, they're kind of apples and oranges in a way, right? So, I mean, you could have a really cool boss that you really like, but he could be a bad manager. He could be, you know, implementing a wrong strategy for your business organization or whatever. But as an employee, you're like, yeah, but I really like them. So, you know, they can be
every manager is going to be questioned till the end of time. Casey Stengel was one of the greatest managers of all time, won World Series after World Series with the Yankees, and still got constantly criticized for only being a, quote, push-button manager. All he had to do was push the buttons, and then the guys would do the things. Like, he just put the guys in, and then they would do it, saying, you know, he did nothing after he wrote the lineup, which isn't true, obviously, but it doesn't matter who the manager is and what they've accomplished. We're going to still try – we're still going to find faults, just how we are as fans and how we're programmed, you know?
Yeah. By the way, speaking of managers, can we give a shout-out, Roger Craig? Rip to the goat, hum baby. That guy loved the pitch out. He loved the squeeze play too.
Mm-hmm.
That was my guy growing up, man. That was a sad moment, man.
Nah, we talked about last week.
Also, he was 93, something like that.
So we were talking about him last week and how, you know, at our age, you know, he was the first manager I followed, right? Because he came on in 1985. Yeah. So I was 11 years old. And that was kind of right when I was getting into.
Wait, what was his first? 1985?
85 was his first year. It was right after the 100-loss season of 84.
Who was before Roger Craig?
Frank Robinson was there for a little bit. I just can't remember.
Frank Robinson. Somebody else. No, there was
someone else before him. Yeah. Because Frank Robinson was like 81.
Oh, God. This is actually a Giants trivia. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh no, we suck at this.
But he was like the first guy that I really latched on to, and obviously he had a lot of success. Yeah, for sure. 86, you know, you got like these kids, hum baby. 87 playoffs, 89 pennant.
Oh wait series. A minute, if you guys
Jimmy
know,
Davenport.
If you guys know, Davenport. Okay, yeah, I know. I just looked it up. But okay, Chad, without you looking it up, do you know the other guy before that?
No.
There's no way.
No,
you know.
I could not tell you.
There's no way you know.
No.
Danny Ozark. 1 year in 1984.
There you go. 100 loss season, baby. What are you going to do?
Bad year.
Some things you bad year. Forget. Yeah, bad year.
Hey, Davenport's year was worse, though. So.
But, you know, Eric was talking about it, how it was really the first manager in a string of managers that have lasted a really long time with the Giants. You know, all these guys have had long tenures from Craig to, I mean, I know Felipe Alou was the short one, but yeah, Dusty Baker, Felipe Alou.
And oh, wait, Craig Bochy. Right into Dusty, and both those guys were long tenured, right?
Yeah.
So,
Craig hired Dusty. That's how Dusty got into the pipeline to be a manager, is Craig hired him as a hitting coach.
Yep.
So I guess that's the question. If it were to be someone other than Kapler from our current coaching staff, like, is there anybody who's like a standout? Because, like, you know, like Rigetti was like a big deal during the Bochy era, but I don't know.
There
I don't
isn't. Know who. There isn't one. Maybe Justin Buehl. Honestly, it's kind of weird. There really isn't a guy.
There's not a guy. Yeah, it's kind of an anomaly. There's a lot of guys, a lot of moving parts in our coaching staff right now. Right? It's because in football, it's so funny. You get if you have a good year with good defense, well, that coordinator's gone. He's a coach now, you know what I mean? But in baseball, it's a little more kind of up in the air, wishy-washy. You don't know if this one coach actually has that much of an impact. So unless you go outside of the organization, I don't actually know who would be the next guy.
Yeah, that's all depends on. And who knows who is really what connects to it. But we should look ahead to what's coming up because we only got a little bit of time left. And
yeah, we got a few minutes.
Get out of here.
Before we get to that, yeah. I do want to talk about. I wanted to talk about Joey Bart real quick. We mentioned him, but
what team is Joey Bart going to?
Well, I mean, you know, unless you've been under a rock,
save it for the July.
We're kind of preaching to the choir here, but I mean, yeah, he was optioned to AAA after he came off his rehab stint. So the reality is Bailey looks like he's here to stay. They got Sable behind him, and they're not going to get rid of him because he's Rule 5. He's performing well, even though he's a little iffy in the catcher position. So Bart had options.
He can play the outfield.
You know,
fast.
Exactly. Yeah, he's multiple positions, all
catcher.
That stuff.
Yeah.
And he brings a lot of energy to the clubhouse. They talked about that. So, I mean, if Bart doesn't have a place, obviously if an injury happens, he'll be called up. But, you know, if Sable and Bailey stay healthy and perform adequately, I mean, Bart's there for the year unless he gets traded. I mean, do you guys agree?
Yes.
And that's that's a rough pill for him to swallow. And but like you brought up last week, Eric, he's not a Zaidi guy. So right. There's kind of like less motivation even so, because Bailey is a Zaidi guy. So I don't know, man. If they can't trade him at the deadline, they might be dealing with a little bit of dead weight, barring injury to other catchers. And it's just a very interesting situation.
But I don't want them to trade him at the deadline because they need the depth in case something happens to Bailey.
Look what happened at the beginning
of the
year.
I really do want.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. The catcher position, it was absolutely, you know, crazy at the beginning of the year. We thought it was settled and then it wasn't. And then now it kind of is. I mean, Bailey is just, I mean, the fact he missed a couple games last week because he had a neck thing going on. But here he is catching 3 days in a row. He's already 1-for-2 today. He drove in a run. You know, his production is just making the need for Bart non-existent. I mean, 328 batting average still. That's amazing.
Yep.
So I think you got to stash Bart in Sacramento. It sounded like they brought him to San Francisco for one day to have a tough talk, and then they sent him to Sacramento to go play some games. It's really what it felt like.
I mean, Bart is still a physical specimen, right? Still a big boy. He hits the ball really friggin' hard, right? He does frame well, but Bailey's kind of we drafted Bailey after Bart.
Yeah.
So obviously the Giants still felt like, yeah, you know, gotta still look at this position. But if you can trade Bart for a legit starter, I think you kind of have to do that, though, right? Like, that's really the only thing that makes sense to me. If a team really needs a catcher and we can get, you know, a third guy who could become our third guy, that's the only thing that actually makes sense, right?
Bailey just singled again.
Right on cue, man.
Yeah, yeah. But see,
he's my guy.
By the way, I'm definitely buying a Bailey headband, right? And I'm going to start wearing that all the time. Like, And the way after a game, right? Every time the Giants win, camera zooms in, right, on the pitcher and the catcher saying, all right, cool, man, good job. Bailey and Duvall seem to have a really good relationship, which is fantastic, right? But Bailey and every single other guy who closes the game, it's like he just feels so comfortable. He looks comfortable. How was he this young and this early in his career? And he just looks like he just is just having a good time. Doesn't give a crap. And he's, I don't know, it's weird. Because like Schmidt still kind of seems like he's freaking out a little bit all the time, right? Bailey does not look like he's freaking out. He looks like he's just like, yep, this is where I belong. He's never going back down. That's just the way it looks to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Logan Webb, I covered the game a couple of weeks ago and they lost that game, but he pitched really well. He faced the minimum in 5 of 7 innings. But he was asked about Bailey after the game and said, how comfortable are you pitching this guy? It looked like he was, you know, framing well and you guys were in sync. And he said, I felt so comfortable with him. I let him call the pitches. But he let a rookie catcher call the pitches. I mean, that says a lot for a guy like Logan Webb. So,
yeah, he's fitting in nicely. Catchers don't call pitches
anymore. Yeah, but, you know, they have the pitch comm system now, right?
Yeah.
So he's just hitting the buttons and Logan's like, yeah, let's do that, you know, and it worked out well. I mean, yeah, the result wasn't what they wanted, but it was just one bad inning with a couple of hits and a bomb. But Bailey
rakes
well.
And he rakes and he bunts. The one thing that was a little bit worrisome was he seems to get a little wild hair up his butt every now and then when he makes a throw, right? But it hasn't been a huge problem yet. But I've seen him, you know, throw a couple ones that got away from him a little bit. So that's, I guess, the question mark. But
yeah. Well, you know, I think he's here to stay.
Yeah, we're just picking nits at that point.
Exactly. I'm like, dude, you can do that as long as you're just hammering line drives out of the ballpark from the right side. That's fine. Dude.
Yeah, we'll take it. Yeah,
do whatever.
All right, let's get into who's hot. We're going to neglect who's not because why be negative? Jock Peterson. Last 8 games, hitting .480, 12 for 25 with 3 bombs and 8 RBI. So that dude is on a roll right now. Tyler Estrada's average is fine. He obviously leads the team. He had 3 bombs and 7 RBI this week. Camilo Duvall, which we just talked about, 3 out of 3 saves in the past week, no runs. But this is his run since his last
reliever of the month.
He was for May. Since his last blown save, however, he's on a run of 18 innings pitched, only 2 earned runs. That's a 1 ERA. 8 hits over those 18 innings, 6 walks, 26 strikeouts, and he's a perfect 14 for 14 in save opportunities. Yeah, it's pretty much he's an elite closer right now, guys. He is just killing it right now. He's unbelievable.
Isn't it kind of crazy, though? Like, just like the Giants developed this elite closer in front of our eyes, and it just kind of happened. You know,
we didn't really know this. Yeah,
right. Yeah. That was what was the weird thing about it is we were kind of like, oh, this guy's really, really good. I love
nobody was Camilo talking about him. And then all of a sudden, you're like, wait, this guy throws 100?
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's really weird how it happened.
And then, it's cool when it happens for us, you know?
No, it's great. Yeah, right? Yeah, we got a closer here for hopefully a couple of years till he blows out his arm. Anyway, not good.
Wait, hold on. Let me just bring it real quick. That Jock Peterson, every single time I look up and he's at bat, the next time I look up, he's on base.
Yeah.
Or he's scoring.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's the best. Because he's also just the coolest Giant. Like, I don't know. I just love that guy. So
nah, he's a cool dude.
I hope he just kind of finishes his career with us because I just love that guy.
Hot stretch, you know, isn't coincidence that Jock got activated at the beginning of the Colorado series, and the Giants' offense has been pretty good, save for, you know, a couple days here or there since then. You know, it's no coincidence there. Jock kind of drove the machine a little bit.
Without Haniger, we're going to have to see how this continues, but you're right. Yeah, no, you're right. He makes the whole lineup better because now you actually have a guy that I think the other team is concerned about, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know Conforto's leading the team in home runs, but Jock is he's the power guy. So right. He's the guy you're probably paying attention to if you're the pitcher. Like, when that guy comes up, be careful.
Then we got the Rogers brothers, Tyler Roger, the funky submariner, just to distinguish them. I mean, every year he always has some bad stretches. This year he's been great. His ERA is 1.71 for the year, but his last 11 games, 11 and two-thirds innings pitched, no runs, 8 hits. And then his brother Taylor, who had a really bumpy start. In fact, I'm sure you guys remember that clip of him throwing his glove in the garbage can in the dugout. That was fantastic. And he joked about it afterwards. At least he has a good sense of humor. But since April 15th, 19 innings pitched, only 1 earned run, guys. 10 hits,
nice.
Yeah.
5 walks, 28 Ks in those 19. So well, I'd say Taylor has turned it around.
Yeah.
He's been solid.
We also had the Colorado game. Taylor into Tyler. That was just a cool moment. That was a really cool moment.
No, I love it.
We grew up going to that stadium, and a lot of family there, and we won the game, and, you know, they both pitched good innings. Good stuff.
And before
it's just nice to not have to worry about the back end, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. The bullpen has gotten so much better, and that's been the key to their turnaround, because offense has been okay this year, right? Starting pitching has been above average this year. It's been the bullpen that's been their Achilles heel. So now that started to turn around, suddenly the Giants are winning. It's no coincidence. So that's what it takes. As far as Wynn, who was just called up and then he was just demoted again, but he came up for a 4-inning save. The one thing that I thought was really interesting about him and really bizarre, he's an Iowa native, so I know there's no major league teams in Iowa, but until last night when he pitched in St. Louis, he had never even been to a major league stadium. That just blew my mind. I'm sorry. A guy who's been playing baseball all his life.
Wait, what?
Yeah, right?
He's a Major League Baseball player who didn't go to baseball games?
He had never been to a Major League Baseball game.
He's from Bumblefuck, Iowa. Where is he going to go to a baseball game?
He's from a town of like 200, literally. That's their population is 200.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I've lived that far away from major league teams.
That just blew my mind, guys. I mean, a lot of people have never been to major league games, but a guy who's been playing baseball his whole life has never been to a major league. That's just not one time on a high school trip, on a family vacation, just friends.
Sure.
It's bizarre to me. It's bizarre.
If you're a guy who's good enough to eventually get to the majors, you had to get on some sort of traveling team at some point, right? And then go on a trip. I don't know. Yeah.
So weird.
That is weird.
All right. Well, coming up, the Giants got obviously the three here in St. Louis. They're wrapping up. They're still down 5-2 in the seventh, so losing time here. But hey, if they get two out of three in St. Louis, that's going to be fine. And then they go to LA after this. Go play the Dodgers for three. But we'll be back. Monday is a federal holiday for me, but I should be around. We should be recording on Monday, unless something else comes up. So we'll have a kind of a short podcast next week, but we'll catch back up. But collectively, you can follow us at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook, all that good stuff. Individually, it's at ChadK21 for myself, at Two Out Hits with the number two for Eric, and at Willie Dills for Willie. All of our stuff, of course, is posted on TortureCast.com. Get our podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast. Willie, you got anything going on?
Well, I probably won't be there on Monday because Mondays are bad for me. But if we do Wednesdays, oh, they're so good for me. And also, on the 21st, we're playing the Padres, I believe.
Yeah, they got a four-game series that week.
And I just put in a request for Media Pass. So,
which day?
You might
the 21st?
Hear from me. 21st, Wednesday. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. So, is that a day game?
It's a night game, I believe.
Oh, it's a rare Wednesday night game, huh? Because it's a four-game series.
A Wednesday night Weird. Game. That's a lot. But if it's a day game, that's fine, too. Actually, I just saw the day. I was like, that one I could do. Yeah. So hopefully I will be able to bring some coverage from the stadium itself.
Yeah, that'll be good. I might try to go to Monday's game. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Eric, anything going on?
Nope, I'm not going to any games. That sucks. Just Giants.
Well, there's that.
Just Giants. I really appreciate that, guys. Just Giants chatter on Facebook and Twitter for all sorts of fun Giants.
As he trails.
Don't be so sad.
All sorts of trails. I'm so sad. You're like Eeyore there. What the heck, man?
I don't go to games.
I get it. No, I get it. When I lived in Austin, I was sad a lot, too.
That's freaking hilarious. Aww. All right, well, that'll do it for episode 282. We'll be back next week for 283. Until then, go Giants. Have a great week. A-boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TortureCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.